Hi everyone, hello world. This is Shai Danon from Raising the Frequency straight from Israel. I'm so honored to be here for the third time. Third should be lucky for all of us. I'm here with Dr. Jack Cruz straight from the US. Hi Jack, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's good to see you. To be honest, I'll tell the viewers that I knew that we are going to speak and we fixed this talk. And actually in the last few weeks, things have changed and moved rapidly towards an unknown or really bad direction. And I prepared something to speak about with you, but I see that reality bites, and that's literally. So I was thinking, what shall we speak about? So I address this question to you. What shall we speak about?
Well, right now, today is March 13th. It's actually Friday the 13th yes. Here in the United States. And we just had the largest drop in the stock market since October 19th, 1987, because of this pandemic. And I'm not, to be quite frank with you, I'm not terribly concerned about the pandemic like you'll get from most other people about panic. And the reason for that, Shai, is I wrote an article on LinkedIn 2 years ago on May 17th, 2018, that predicted this was going to happen. And the prediction was not made based on the virulence of the pathogen, meaning in this case, the virus. Because in that paper, I talked about bacteria, mold, fungi, viruses, all of them, all comers. The point that I was trying to make to people is that as we ramped up the tech world, when we went from a 2G to a 5G footprint, that it would radically change the way our immune systems would respond to pathogens, and that what happened in 1918 was going to be exponentially much more powerful. And I even made predictions about where these things would be. And obviously the place where this virus came from is at the 30th latitude in China. And it actually happens to be a population dense area. There's 60 million people in this area. Mm-hmm. And all of it has been 5G for about 25 months. And China was wise to do what they did in terms of locking everything down. And it's easier to do in a communist country, but still locking 60 million people down is a pretty Herculean task for any government. You know, and the governments that really don't understand the power law mathematics of infection and pandemic, because most of them don't. Most governments, this is probably the one natural disaster that governments are going to get caught with their pants down. And we've seen that in Iran. We've also seen it in Italy. I'm fully expecting the same thing to happen in different parts of in Europe. I'm especially concerned about the numbers that I'm seeing now about Spain and France. I think Great Britain will probably have to close their borders relatively soon. I know last night Denmark did. The higher latitude Scandinavian countries, I also think, carry big risks. But I think the number one country that I'm worried about going forward is probably Australia. And that may surprise some people, but Australia is proximally much closer to the epicenter, which is in China. It does a lot of business with Asia. And the real problem is they just came out, since they're in the Southern Hemisphere, they just came out of a summertime where they didn't really have a true summer because they had all those fires that everybody heard about.
Yeah.
And those fires actually make all the soot go up in the air. And the way Australia works is they have no population in the inside of the country where it's a desert. So everybody lives on the outside. So where these fires were was close to the population density areas. And that blocks the quantum yield of the sun. So normally you would say, okay, these people hopefully got some sun, but Australia has another social and cultural problem. They have the highest rates of skin cancer in the world. So they have this false belief that they need to go out and put sunscreen on and wear sunglasses and all kinds of clothing. So they're a nation that generally has very low levels of vitamin D to begin with. Well, it turns out vitamin D actually controls innate immunity. Innate immunity is exactly what you need to control viral spread. So my prediction is, since the summer there was altered by the fires, they also have horrendous natural water in Australia, which I've talked about many times before. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, they also turned 5G on in several of their big cities, and especially in their northern province close to the equator called Queensland. And that's where the fires were pretty substantial. They're now headed into the autumn and fall there. So, for example, a place like Melbourne, which is 37th latitude, technically it's already getting bad weather, you know, like you would see in New York City in October, November, December. That means that that population is going to be extremely at risk. And I think Australia needs to act faster than even China or the United States. Otherwise, I expect them to have massive problems. The United States, President Trump closing the borders and acting like, a lot of people thought, I think when he announced his plan a couple of nights ago, people were kind of stunned that he basically closed the borders to Europe. I personally think he should have closed the borders all over. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is we also have the 5G problem, but we have some other unusual risks in the United States. And it's not so much in terms of people getting sick. It actually has more to do with people like me, healthcare professionals. We don't have testing kits here. And the reason why that's the case is the United States made, I think, a pretty big catastrophic error with the testing kits when they said, we don't want to use what Taiwan's used or South Korea's used, mm-hmm. because the reagents in the testing kit had some chemicals in it that are on list here in different states that cause problems, carcinogenic, mm-hmm. and issues like that. We have one state that I would tell you in the United States, as far as I'm concerned, is about as close to a communist state as you can get, because it's so progressive and liberal, which is California. And they have special rules on the book that some of these tests couldn't be used. Mm-hmm. And the politicians in those countries are now trying to blame the federal government for this. But it ultimately comes down to, the decision was made not to use the same testing kits. So the testing kits that were made here in the United States, turns out, don't test well. There's a lot of false positives for coronavirus. So the big issue is, now we truly don't know what the true number of cases are in the United States. So the wise choice is, which is what Trump did, is to close the borders down to kind of flatten the curve of the infection. Do I think it's going to help? I do think it's going to help. It'll lower our death rate from about 4 to 5% for this one, down to maybe 1 to 2%. But in a population of 360 million people, a lot of people are going to die. And as I said before, I think most of the people at risk are going to be higher latitude. You happen to know that I'm in the south part of the United States at the 28th latitude. I went into several of the healthcare facilities in my area today and found out that even the local authorities are lying to the people in my own place, because they told us there was only one case. And I found out this morning that's not true. There's several healthcare facilities within 10 miles of where I'm at right now that have over 10 cases. And the number is going to explode. And the cases that are here are not just immunocompromised people. They're actually in people who are 40 and 50 years old. So it's a kind of a big deal.
Do you think this, or do you know if this virus is like a naturally occurring virus, or is it a bioweapon, like some of the rumors out there are telling us, or is it just technology related and the status of the immune systems of the population?
Say that again.
Fair point. Well, my question is it a real virus? Is it a lab-made virus type?
No one. The truth is, Shai, right now, no one knows the truth.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
The problem is, because of where it comes from in China, China hasn't been forthright in anything that they've really done. You know, one of the things that I find very fascinating about this, and I'd like to talk further about it so people understand, mm-hmm. coronavirus has been around for millions of years. This is not a rare virus.
Yeah.
This is a very, very common virus. It's not like, you know, regular Lysol wipes that we have in the United States. If you pick up the canister, it says on the back, it's effective against coronaviruses. This is the reason why, you know, you hear most of the health officials globally talk about wash your hands underneath your fingernails, because that really does the trick, you know, for this type of virus. The difference with this virus is that it seems to be more virulent in certain people, and the virulence, it really appears to be tied to latitude. Mm. And many, many people on the internet who are into, I guess, alternative theories want to link this to an activation with non-native EMF. I personally believe that the activation of the virus directly is not the link. I think the lack of redox power in people at higher latitudes and in population dense areas weakens immunity. And the people that are getting it, the epidemiologists believe it's going to be young and old. The interesting thing in this one, there's been very few cases reported below 10 years old, yeah. which is not what we usually see yeah. in a regular yeah. pandemic. But the older age group has been effectively hit. The interesting thing is there's also a lot of reports out now from the CDC and the WHO that people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s are getting popped. Well, I think when you delve into their medical histories, you're probably going to find that their risk is they've been associated, probably business travelers. They've probably been around, you know, IT and the tech world. The problem is, Shai, people and doctors don't know enough to ask these questions because they don't understand that non-native electromagnetic fields actually lower innate immunity. And this is the reason why, you know, you've been following me for a long time,
yeah.
that I always tell people that you always have to redox before you detox. And the reason why this epidemic or this pandemic is proving my point time and time again. If your vitamin D is likely above 60 nanograms per deciliter, the chance of you really having to worry about it outside of just getting the flu and maybe a cough or a sneeze or a slight fever, mm-hmm. that's probably all you're going to have to worry about. It does mean that you will be contagious.
Contagious, yes.
Potentially people in your family or your network, you know, that may not fare as well. And if you know that those people are out there, they think that the things that I talk about are hyperbole, those are the people that are going to get taken out. And, you know, when we're in a pandemic situation, I don't like to sit on a podcast and tell people I told you so.
Sure.
But I did tell you so. And the real big issue is why I talked about earlier with you before we came on live, mm-hmm. that I wrote this article on LinkedIn on 5/17/2018. It's not a very long article, but it makes the point that the risk of how we've created man-made environments is something that we need to look at from a public health standpoint. And I think an event like this, most other people in the world will probably think this is a horrible event. And Jack is sitting here going, I'm kind of glad it's happening. Why? Because it's going to force people to start to deal with the more difficult questions of what's going on. If you look at what's going on in the stock market, if you look at what's going on in the supermarkets everywhere in the world, this is having a global tsunami effect.
Yeah.
This is going to destroy global economies for a period of time, probably for the next couple of months. Things will come back. They always do. It's one of the things that humans don't like to deal with, fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I've been trying to educate people about these basic tenets and how they link to these type of diseases.
You know, one of the reasons I really love having these talks with you is your perspective. And unlike almost any other doctor I know, your perspective is vast. I mean, you include in that perspective not just health, you include also physics and nature and light environment, water environment, and obviously the electromagnetic field we live in. Can you just give, for those who don't know, can you just give us the link between the non-native electromagnetic fields we live in and our immune system or our health or lack of it?
Yeah, I mean, before I get deep into the science, I'm gonna make a statement that is probably gonna be relatively succinct, but it's gonna be extremely powerful. It's very difficult to get modern humans to understand something when their addiction to its use depends on them not understanding. And that is the key why people refuse to believe that light or non-native EMF can cause some of the things that we're seeing today. So the way nature built us is we have the EMF in the sky called the sun that has a vast array, a continuous light spectrum. That light spectrum turns on the T regulator cells in your immune system, your innate immune system. Those T regulator cells control T cells and they control B cells. So that's the EMF we're designed to work with. No one, and I mean no one, who's listening to this, lives in that world anymore. They live on the world that we're on right now. We're on a Zoom room. You've got blue light on you. You're behind windows. The windows aren't open. My windows are open. I've got blue blockers on. I've got a red light behind me. I have to do these things to keep my redox power up while I'm becoming blue light toxic to share this with you. Why? Because I don't want my innate immune system going down when this bacteria, when this virus is now all around us. Because
but just to say, I have the Iris, the blue light blocking app, and I have glasses here. I have red light and normal incandescent light just here, just so you know, right?
Well, but the thing is, it's important for the people out there, listening this to understand.
Yes.
So that's the mechanism of how this fundamentally happens. And it turns out non-native EMF does not allow your T regulatory cells to control the T cells or the B cells in your body. And that leads to an altered immune response. That's how you get the worst part of the coronavirus, which is ARDS, which is a sepsis, a viral sepsis that takes over your lungs that has... It's so bad that even when they put a tube in you and give you oxygen, you develop a disease called ARDS, which basically, the best way to describe it to non-doctors is you're drowning on your own secretions. Hmm. And those secretions are made by the cytokine storm from the virus. The only way to cause somebody to survive for that is there's a machine that we have called ECMO. And ECMO machines, there's only 250 of these machines in the entire United States. If you don't get on that type of machine when you have this problem, you're going to die. So what's happening in Italy right now is doctors, where they have these machines, they have to pick who lives and dies. Right now, if you're over 65 in Italy, you're not even being tested. Why? Because they already know you're a goner.
Wow.
And this is not something that the healthcare system ever want to get to. But natural disasters like this have a way of making people proactive versus being reactive. And it turns out all governments, they never are proactive. They're always reactive. We're seeing it all around the world. There's not a government out there right now that was ready for this. And the point that I try to make to people, at least in my country, my government is, if you read our major document, it says for the people, by the people. Well, here's the thing. My people in my country are addicted to technology, and technology is what's hurting our immune system. The same thing is true in your country, because everything the United States does, Israel follows. Oh. So I am what we call a salmon. I swim upstream. I teach people the problem isn't in the nuclear genome where DNA is. The problem is in the mitochondrial genome, because the mitochondrial genome controls all the energy flow in the cell. Turns out energy flow is directly linked to redox potential, which is what controls all these processes in your body. So that's when it comes down, and I call my people black swan mitochondriacs. Why is that? A black swan is rare in nature. It doesn't mean that they're not present, but they're rare. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they look at the world a little bit differently than everybody else. Why? I don't think the DNA and RNA is the key to disease, but my government, 99% of the NIH budget is spent looking for the answers to chronic diseases there. The reason why we have these major epidemics in diabetes and atherosclerosis and stroke and heart attacks and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's in this country is because we're looking in the wrong genome. We have to look in the right genome. So when I describe this black swan mitochondriac idea, people always ask me, tell me what really is a black swan mitochondriac? And I'm going to tell you, most people know what a voyeur is, but very few people know what an arbiter is. And when I ask people, I said, are you an arbitrage or are you an arbiter, just like a voyeur? And they go, what is this? What are you asking me? And I say that an arbiter or an arbitrage or is we tend to take advantage of the differences in prices of something that we can make a risk-free profit from. That's what happens in the business world. Mm-hmm. But I take the idea to health. The black swan mitochondriac is a health arbiter. We use nature to build the redox power in the colony of mitochondria to offset the need and the cost of expensive allopathic medical care and testing. And most of that testing and medical care is often impotent to give the outcome that we want for the life that we want to live. Nothing could be more true than what I just said to you than what's going on with this virus. And this idea, this mindset allows us to save our insurance premiums, to spend it on things we should be spending it on, like going to the beach, going to places like Mexico, closer to the equator, or buying a beach house, you know, at a low latitude, or coming to see and be educated by clinicians who embrace nature's recipes to help humans remain free of conventional wisdom sick care. Because this epidemic, this pandemic, is exposing the soft white underbelly of what really is a problem in the evidence-based medicine paradigm. Basically, being an arbiter of nature, it unlocks you from the current paradigm and the prison that's holding us all hostage.
You know, they're planning to cut 90 million trees in the world in order to replace them or just to remove them, not to interfere with the 5G signal. And I remember, I think it was the previous interview we did, the previous talk, and I asked you towards the end if you're optimistic or pessimistic or just realistic. And you said you're optimistic because, I mean, it's not a direct quote, but still, you said you're optimistic because so many or that many people will die, will have to die for the rest of us to wake up and do something about it.
Correct.
And yes.
And I still feel the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, my perspective is very, very counterintuitive to probably most people that will listen to this. But everything that we do prior to a pandemic of that's linked to tech-induced disease will seem alarmist. So you know that many of the things I post on social media before this pandemic occurred, people are like, wow, you want me to get rid of this job and move south and this and that? And, you know, it seems alarmist. It seems like it's hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out after the pandemic, everything that I may recommend may actually seem inadequate. And that may be a really tough swallow for people to understand.
Yeah.
So you have to really understand that the tech-induced diseases that we have to be replaced by nature. We have to understand that fundamentally, at the most fundamental levels, that non-native EMF ruins our immunity because it destroys the colony of mitochondria and our T and B cells. So my message with this pandemic has not changed with this viral outbreak. I am still as optimistic as I used to be. In fact, Shai, I'm going to tell you, I actually think this pushes things up. And to prove my point to you, you may not know this or you may, I made another prediction. I said, when something like a major pandemic occurs, I would predict that my website would explode.
Yeah.
And it did. It went offline last night because of the volume. Because people now understand that all the things that I've been saying for 15 years, maybe it's not so crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe I was reading the tea leaves better than the other experts. Like, you know, you listen to the idiots that sell supplements like Dave Asprey. How is his MCT oil working out for people now? It's not, because it's not something that fundamentally gets to the core issue of really how life works in this world. And like I said, marketing is legalized lying. That's all it is. What I try to teach people is the wisdom of nature. And, you know, I still think that my brand of medicine is going to be wildly popular in a world that gets past this current issue.
Yeah.
I think the reason I'm still optimistic, I think when you release this podcast and people realize that we did this podcast in the middle of the pandemic, and I'm still optimistic, it's because I think people's awareness will finally be linked to, hey, we do have a problem. This problem is a lot bigger than we want to see.
Yeah.
And one little small virus that's been around for 2 or 3 million years that really doesn't have big virulence now just killed, you know, 1 million people or however many people it's going to kill. Or it shut down the global economy for 6 to 12 months. I mean, there's going to be collateral effects from that. No matter how many dead we have, my main concern right now, I think this is going to be the biggest wake-up call for medicine, organized medicine, that they've ever seen. Why? Because they need to be aware that they're looking in the wrong place, asking the wrong questions, and this is the reason why they got taken to the woodshed.
To be honest, Jack, I disagree. And the reason is, I see from my own perspective, from my own angle, I see that actually what they're doing is preparing a vaccine. And a vaccine will not solve it. We know the cause of this stuff, whether it's natural occurring or not, and it's fine if you think it is, but even if it is, even if it's not, a vaccine will not solve the problem. But
I disagree with you. I think the vaccine is already here. That vaccine has been around for 4.6 billion years. It's called the sun.
The sun, I agree. I agree.
And guess what? When people go through a very traumatic event, and I think I said this to you on the last podcast, people in New Orleans really got woken up by Katrina, by the hurricane that was here.
Yeah.
Now when a minor storm comes, everybody takes it for real.
Yeah.
And I have a very different perspective than you, that when a country gets hit pretty hard, they're going to pay attention. It doesn't matter if your government or the paradigm in power pays attention. I can tell you already in the United States that there is a big undertow of people not believing the paradigm's belief about vaccines. And I can tell you that many allopathic doctors on Twitter, you know, some of my colleagues, they now are uber pro-vaccine. And you can see by even some of my tweets, I don't really have a dog in the hunt in the vaccine game, but I do make key points about vaccines that I think people need to look at. I think they should be treated just the way drugs are. We don't have a trial on them and we don't know what the effects are, then I don't think we can make them mandatory. We can still have them. We can still, if people want to use them, that's fine. But the way the science of vaccine has been rolled out through this herd immunity, that's the prescription that the paradigm uses, like everybody has to do it. And I have to be honest with you, in a country like the United States, I don't think that's ever going to fly.
I agree.
You may think that a pandemic of this sort is going to push the vaccine story, but guess what? We didn't have a vaccine for this virus. In fact, the thing that's really, if you really want to know the most interesting part of the story that I don't think has probably hit Israel yet, but it's hit here in the States because the doctors are talking about it. Finally, people have taken my advice and gone back and read what was most successful in the 1918 pandemic. And guess what? Plasmapheresis. When you take plasma from people who survive the flu and then reinject it into people who are at risk, they tend to get better. So why would that work? Well, guess what, my friend? All the things that we talked about in the beginning of this podcast about how the innate immune system works, mm-hmm. all those factors are in your plasma. And mm-hmm. where did they come from? From the sun.
The sun.
Remember, what is blood? Blood is a magnetohydrodynamic plasma that wirelessly connects the sun to our mitochondria. That's the reason why that worked in 1918. And I got news for you, that will still work today. And do I think in countries hard hit, they're going to get away from like Gilead's drug and some of the other drugs that they're using off label now for this? Some of those drugs will help some of the people that get, but I think we'll find out the aftermath of this pandemic will show us that plasma and plasma therapies have a huge impact. This is not good news for the big pharma at all.
Of course.
Not.
Listen, and, Jack, I just love it. I want you, if you can just repeat it and maybe just a little bit explore it. The red blood cells, how they are being used as a nature Wi-Fi from the sun to our mitochondria.
It's not just red blood cells. It's the things in blood plasma, the proteins that these cells, the T-regulated cells, release, put into the plasma to activate all the other cells within the blood and in the bone marrow. This is what allows your immune system to activate. It goes all the way back down to a gene in the body called MHC 1 and 2. It has humongous effects, but what people don't realize, the blood plasma is affected by what light is on your skin. If your light is a fake light, then guess what? Your blood plasma is not going to be very good, and you're going to be one of those people that may be in the 4 to 5% of people are going to die. But if you do get your skin in the game and your blood plasma has enough ability to raise its redox power and you get sick, you have to be intubated, but you live, your plasma then will contain antibodies that will help somebody else fight this infection. So your blood plasma taking out and delivering it to someone else at risk could save their life. And this whole process points out how nature uses the sun as a vaccine. That's the vaccine that I think is going to come out of this. And I think there is enough people in the United States that already are extremely skeptical of the big pharma version of vaccines. And I've got a funny feeling the postscript to this viral epidemic is going to be that plasmapheresis still works. And it's the same story that I mentioned to you a long time ago. You know, we have TB. TB, the first drug that came out for TB was in the 1950s. It was called isoniazid. We came up with other drugs for TB. Now today, in most places where TB is a big problem, like an epidemic in different countries, India being one of them, all the TB is drug resistant. So they can put you on 5 drugs, nothing works. Do you know what still works? The sun. The sun is still the best treatment for TB. And here's the funny thing. Prior to 1950, prior to isoniazid, what did we used to do for people with TB? We put them on the roof closer to the sun. And that's how you mitigated their symptoms. And the irony is, it still works today. In other words, TB has not figured out a way to get away from UV light. And it's amazing to me that people in medicine refuse, because of their own cognitive bias from ophthalmologists and dermatologists, that we believe that UV light is toxic. It turns out we need UV light to live. Every single cell in our body releases extreme low frequency UV light to maintain health, to maintain signaling. That's actually how the blood cells talk to and make all the chemicals that they make. That's where redox power comes from. And I am very optimistic that this infection, people are going to start listening to my brand, The Science, even more. Why? Because when all the numbers are tallied and all the dead are there, I think you're going to see pretty clear-cut idea that people who had low redox and lived at high latitudes did poor. And people who had relatively good redox and lived in non-redox population, then zones did better, then what are they going to say? How are they going to explain it then? And see, it's not important that the federal government or the CDC or the NIH get the story right. You know what's important now, Shai? What we're doing now.
The people, on podcast. Yes, I agree.
We are talking about this in the midst of this pandemic.
I agree.
I'm telling people what to look for after it's over. And if my fingerprints happen to be more correct than the NIH, I can tell you that people will begin to realize that there is power within their own bodies that they need to learn how to tap. Then it becomes incumbent upon them to really understand what being a black swan is all about, and a black swan mitochondria. Because there is a doctor inside of you. Most of us, when we get sick or we have this kind of fear around us, we default to some other expert. That's one of the biggest mistakes you can make.
You move me, man. I mean, for the listeners and the viewers who don't know you, listen, I know Jack and Jack's work for, I don't know, 5-6 years or so by now, and Jack is spot on, like always. And, you know, Jack, I've been telling lately, I mean, in the past few years, but even more so now, that we need to start and differentiate ourselves from this technology, from the wireless technology, from our lifestyle, because now, obviously, with the IoT story, each house is going to have, if not already, dozens of small microwaves machines that produce electromagnetic fields 24/7, and people are not aware to its dangers. People are not aware. They put it next to their babies, next to their womb, next to their children, next to their head when they sleep, which is the worst, I think. And I tell people, and people start to see the connection between the low redox or low immune system capabilities and the radiation.
Well, this is like one of the things that we talked about that I think I want to hammer home.
Please.
I said before, people in times of crisis tend to default to experts and they listen to it. But the experts are the ones that told us that this likely couldn't happen in this kind of world. And
yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
Then the experts told us we didn't need all the kits that we needed to make the diagnosis. Turns out they were wrong. It turns out that just about every step, when all this postmortem is done, you're going to find out governments everywhere
wrong.
Made mistakes. Yeah. So the question is, why do the people keep listening to things that obviously are wrong? In other words, your real life experience tells you something radically went wrong here, and everybody across the globe made the same mistake. Hmm. So what does it mean that we're missing? So I'm going to say something to you, and I really want to parse my words very carefully here. No lesson I've learned in medicine seems so deeply inoculated by the experience of life as that you should never trust the experts in any field. Remember, Shai, I happen to be one of those experts. I even tell my followers to question me.
Yeah.
So for example, as a doctor, if you believe doctors, nothing is wholesome. If you believe theologians, nothing is innocent. If you believe soldiers, nothing is safe. And you know that in your country. They all require to have their strong wine diluted by a very large admixture of insipid common sense. And what I'm trying to teach people is the common sense of nature is extremely wise.
I think we can finish with these words, because sometimes less is more, and I know you have a lot to teach and a lot to give, but I think it's good for now, and hopefully we'll see each other very soon. Take care, you and all your followers and all your mates down there at the clinic. We'll catch up very soon. Thank you so much, Dr. Jack Cruz, for this talk and everything you put out there for the best of humanity, I would say. Thank you very much.
No problem. Take care.
Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.